with us. Let's bring in Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. MJ, what's going on a Monday? Are you in Toronto or are you in Arizona?
So, listen, guys, I can't concentrate right now. I'm trying to watch to see what the highways look like because, unfortunately, I am in Toronto. I was supposed to be in Arizona calling the game, but because of Omicron and stuff, we're calling it off tube today.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, well, 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Scarborough, that's okay. Be a nice, easy day. Get over there. No problem. No traffic. I wake up to this avalanche.
And,
you know, we dig out the car and shovel out the garage and the driveway. And I live what would be 12 minutes from the studio on a regular day. And the game's at 4. Leaving as soon as I'm done talking to you. So,
oh my gosh,
I'm gonna try to brave it. We're gonna go and see what happens, and hopefully I get there by 4 o'clock.
Yeah,
oh,
let's
man,
hope
I hope you have 4 by.
I do have a SUV and all-wheel drive and all that stuff. So I mean, it should be okay. It should be, but I'm just watching people drive by in the neighborhood, and they are struggling out there. So if you can stay home, seriously.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't know where the plows are. Like, I'm right at Lakeshore in downtown, and I'm looking at Bathurst. Like, there's 4 streetcars piled up on Bathurst, and people aren't walking on the sidewalks. They're just walking in the middle of the street where there's tire tracks. Like, it's just the most
anarchy.
Insane thing I've ever seen.
Anarchy in the streets of Toronto.
Yeah. I'm waiting desperately for the plow to hit my little side street, because I'm like, I don't want to, like, try to barrel out of my driveway into a big mash of snow, but I think that's what I'll be doing in about 15 minutes.
I think so. Best of luck to you, Johnny, on your travels in the studio. So the Maple Leafs, they squeaked out a 6-5 win over St. Louis on the weekend. And before you came on, we were just talking about how Mitch Marner returned to action in the game, had some nice energy, had a little bit of a jump, scored a beauty, got an apple as well. What'd you make of his return to the ice? Were you surprised that he had that much of an impact and a jump, given that he spent the last week or so away from the team off the ice?
I think we got to change our expectations for star players returning from injury or absence. I mean, we've seen it with Kucherov. We've seen it with Malkin. We've seen it with Tuukka Rask. Like, these guys are out for a long, long time. They just come back in, and it's like they never skip a beat, let alone, you know, 5 days, a game or two. As long as he's physically feeling fine, and you can never quite be sure exactly how guys are physically feeling coming off the COVID list, but as long as he's physically feeling fine, then I would not be surprised. I guess I was not surprised, but you are correct. He was excellent. And Julia, you mentioned how when he's going to have a good game, you can almost tell in the first 7 minutes of the game, like his first 3 shifts, if he has the puck, if he's found some space, he's made a couple of nice passes, it's like that spurs on the rest of the game. He obviously is seeing it well, feeling it well, skating well, and he becomes difficult to handle because he had the puck and made so many nice passes, let alone shot for a goal, which is a little bit rare for him because you don't think of him as having a great shot. But just the puck movement and the body movement was really strong in the offensive zone for Marner, and really for most of the Leafs in that game. Like, the stuff in their own end we'll talk about eventually, but the stuff in the offensive zone, the stuff on the red line going forward, was really good against St. Louis, a team that was also thinned out because of some COVID and injuries as well.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk recently about Mitch Marner and goal scoring, that 100-game drought without a power play goal has been highlighted a bit recently. I don't know how much I care, honestly, MJ. He's a great playmaker. But he was talking yesterday about...
I bet you he cares.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm about to say. He was talking about becoming more of a scoring threat, and it kind of looked like a goal scorer's goal that he scored on Saturday. Do you think that he might start thinking too much about scoring, and it might affect the way that he's just such a natural playmaker? Like, that really is his strength, right?
Yeah, yes, but I think when I was playing, I was very much a passive. I did not have a great shot. I did not consider myself, you know, a threat to score from far out. So I would try to look for plays. You know, Mitch is a playmaker at heart. But I think if you get yourself into a scoring mindset, like it will never really deviate you from who you are. Like, it might get you some more chances, it might get you some more looks, and that will open things up for you. But it will never take away from who you actually are, who he is. He's a passer. He's a pass-first guy playing with the best scorer in the world. So I think it actually is never a bad thing to think, okay, I'm going to look to shoot more. I'm going to be more aggressive. I'm going to try to get to the net. I'm not going to drift and look for better passes, because you're 25 years, however old Mitch Marner is now, 25 years of instincts will take you that spot anyways. So I have no problem with the idea of him thinking about being more aggressive trying to add different elements to his game, because the passing will always be there and always instinctively be his first option.
Yeah, I the only combat I guess I have to that is Mitch Marner is a player where when we watch him, confidence means so much to this guy. And if he's thinking about scoring too much, it sometimes could drag on him where he's gripping the stick a little bit too much and then he gets into a funk and his mindset kind of changes. That's the only thing that would worry me about Marner, if he's changing his mindset and focusing on trying to become more of a goal scorer threat.
Well, Mikey, I guess what I'm saying is, like, he will change his approach.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm going to look to score. I'm going to try to think about scoring. But you don't want to change your evaluation of who you are. Like, if you don't score 40, it doesn't mean you didn't have a good year. So there's a balance to be had there. And you make a good point. You can't think, I got to be like Austin Matthews. If I don't score like Austin, I'm not doing it right. I don't think he goes there. I think he's just like, listen, when I get the puck in good spots, I look to shoot. That's all. And other than that, everything else would stay basically the same, and the results will be really good because he's a really good player.
We've got TSN hockey analyst Mike Johnson on the phone right now. The other thing that's been coming up a little bit lately, MJ, because it's the Leafs and we've got to talk about it. Do you think that we should be a little concerned about the blown leads here? They've been able to squeak points out of a lot of these games, but the biggest concern, I think, is the play in their own end, right? That's where the blown leads are coming from.
Yeah, yes, there would be concern there. It's unusual to blow a lead, but you know, the one against Colorado right now is just, you know, rolling very well.
Definitely.
And if you try to sit on a lead when you get up, which is, there's some score effects that take place. Every team in the league gets up by three, they're going to sit back and their team's going to push. Just generally speaking, the other team doesn't have enough offense to come all the way back like Colorado does. But yeah, there's, you'd like to, whether you play aggressively or not, you'd like to think that we are so good in our own end. If we get up two goals in the third period, it doesn't even matter if we try to play going forward. Because we're so tight, we have such a good goalie, we're not going to get ourselves in trouble anyway. And I think that's where they've sprung a little bit of some leaks the last week or so with these blown third period leads. It's not that they haven't played well. They've had their share of chances and deserve to win some of those games. It's just that some of the mistakes, which are going to happen, are just, it's a little too glaring. Like a little, you know, missed assignment, communication errors in front of the net, perhaps losing battles in along the boards, in and around the front of the net. And that's where Sheldon Keefe will focus, and they'll look to clean up. Because if you want to win, like, you're going to need to be able to defend. Think about when they get to the playoffs. They're going to play Florida or Tampa or Boston. Like, you're going to need to know how to defend well, really well, to get through those series. And you can't just kind of, you know, it's not going to be playing a mediocre team. Those are excellent, top Stanley Cup contending teams just in the first round. So that will be an area of focus going forward. They haven't been quite as good defensively this year as last. So that's something that Sheldon Keefe will want to continue to work on. Yeah, like it's highlighted because they've given up some goals, and maybe Jack Campbell hasn't been as sharp as he was where he would clean up the messes that they were making earlier in the year. But yeah, they got to stop making quite as many big messes.
Yeah, what do you make of that, Johnny? Campbell's allowed now 5 goals. He allowed 5 goals on 25 shots on Saturday. It has just an .880 save percentage on this road trip. Like, would you equate his recent struggles to, you know, just the overall lack of structure in defensive plays? Is fatigue finally starting to set in with that big early workload, or is this simply just regression like we all kind of have been waiting for?
Yeah, it's the latter. Like, I don't think he's tired. Why would he be tired? They haven't played any games. Right? He's had basically a month off, more or less. And yes, there's been breakdowns, but there were breakdowns all year long. I think it's just a natural regression. Did you expect him to be .939 at the end of the year? Of course.
Yep.
Right?
No.
So what would be a... Yo, you did. Yeah, of course you did. Yeah. But like, so let's say he, like, what would be a crazy good year for him? 930, 925? Well, he's played half a year at 940. So to go to a 925, that means the second half of the year would be at 910. Which is barely league average goaltending. And that's how good his start was. Like, you have to appreciate how great he was, or has been, not was, but he has been up until this point. So to have his play drop a little bit is completely expected, totally normal. Doesn't mean he's not an excellent goaltender. It's something that we should have expected to happen for a stretch. So no panic yet. I'm sure he's not happy about it. He's beaten himself up already. I've heard a couple times in the media for some of these games.
Yeah.
But he's going to have some dips, some blips, some off games and off week in the second half of the season. they need Mrazek to step in there and be solid, to make sure to give him lots of rest, make sure to keep him healthy. But that's just going to be normal. Every goaltender has it. He just hasn't had it up to this point, which means he's very likely to have it in the second half here.
If he pulls himself out of this, because, you know, Jack Campbell, this is really his first time being the true number one starter. He's never had this type of workload. But if he could pull himself out of this little funk that he's had in the past week, how far do you think that takes him in the Leafs looking at it, being like, okay, this guy can be a number one. He's finally kind of faced adversity that he really hasn't faced. Maybe there was like a stretch last year where he had like a week where he wasn't playing too well. But how much do you think this will help his, I guess, contract negotiations going forward with the Maple Leafs if he can pull himself out of this funk?
Yeah, I mean, every little bit of evidence that he can give the Toronto Maple Leafs to believe that he is, what he's doing is sustainable, helps his cause and helps the Leafs in their decision-making. Because if they believe that he is going to be a 9-30 goaltender for the next 5 years, then that makes your contract negotiations much clearer. Not easier, just clearer. But, you know, if he languishes and dips and doesn't do well, then maybe you're wondering, okay, you know, can he be that guy 60 games a year? Now, I think he can. I think he is. He's proven it now for a year and a half. But yes, if he can right himself quickly, and in many ways, that's what the best players and goaltenders do. Everyone has bad games, weeks, whatever, but they don't let it linger because they're so good. It just doesn't last. And I think that will be maybe the latest challenge for Jack Campbell to meet and pass as he sort of establish himself as a true, legit, upper echelon number one goalie in the league.
Yeah, and in that same vein, Austin Matthews at the beginning of the season, houses were on fire because he hadn't scored a million goals after coming off a wrist surgery. All of a sudden, this 10-game consecutive road goals, he's just one behind Drysdale, I think, for the lead in goals. Are we running out of ways to say Austin Matthews is really good? I don't even know what else. He says it about Jack Campbell, but what about Austin has really stood out to you lately?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, the same stuff he does all the time. He's relentless around the puck. He's relentless when looking for offense. And he finds ways to create space and turn it over, and then, you know, with the shot, the hands, all that stuff around the net is obviously there, but it's just the work he does away from it, because I guess we shouldn't be surprised the work he does with it. Like, we know once his wrist is healthy and he's got his reps in, he's, you know, arguably the best shooter in the world. So we, you know, that's that. But it's really getting yourself in the spots to get the puck to do that, to shoot that puck. And that's where he's been really good. Now, he wasn't, like, there was a couple of mistakes against St. Louis.
Yeah.
First goal, he went for a flyby on Ryan O'Reilly. I still think, like, dialing into that, those areas of the game to be as good defensively as he can be, because he's an excellent defensive player. Make no mistake, he is a good defensive player, but, you know, he's not perfect. So he can still clean those things up. But it's just the work he does to get the puck back and to get himself into shooting and scoring position is impressive. And I guess when the goals were 22-15 or something, 22-12 in favor of Drysdale, I'm like, listen, I don't think he can catch Drysdale. Not because he won't score 50, it's because Drysdale's going to score 65. Like, it looks like, you know, he's not going to stop. But I was wrong. Austin was right, and I guess you'd have to say he is for sure the house favorite to win the Rocket again. I mean, I would expect him to win it again.
Yeah, I would as well. I'd put a ticket in the other day, to be quite honest with you on that one. in conversation with Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. Johnny, the Oilers just continue to slide here, losing 6-4 on the weekend to Ottawa. They haven't won a game since returning from the holiday break. McDavid visibly frustrated on Saturday, talked to reporters post-game. Like, what's going to save the Oilers' season, you think? Is it more than just a goaltender at this point?
How much more can you ask for, though, mid-season, really? I mean, what kind of significant change? If it's not a goalie, would be significant. If you want more than a goalie, the only thing that would be feasible would probably be a coach, like a coaching change, right? You're not going to be able to go get a good player on that team contractually and everything else to help. So, but it did feel, and I think we need to give Ottawa some credit. Ottawa's on a nice run. They're scoring goals. They beat Calgary, you know, just before they played Edmonton. And so they're playing relatively well as well. But when you're up 3-1, you still see that Ottawa is a 28th place team or whatever they are. You're thinking, okay, we've righted the ship. We're set. Stuart Skinner has been solid enough. And then you go and give up a five pack in the third. Five. And you lose that game. The spiral continues. The question marks in goal remain. And that post-game presser, I mean, you don't want to read too much into it. Everyone's going to be frustrated. But Connor generally does a good job of being pretty steady. Like, the highs aren't too high. The lows aren't too low. He just kind of gives you that, you know, things are okay. And he looked exasperated. He looked frustrated. He looked kind of at wit's end in trying to explain and wrap his head around what was happening for him and the Oilers. So I don't know where they go from here. I mean, Ken Holland had a presser last week, guys, and he was saying, you know, answers have to come from within, on our team or in our organization. I don't want to trade futures or first-round picks to get other players. It feels like he might have to do that because they're no longer just trying to like win a round of the playoffs. They're going to try to make the playoffs because with LA playing well, the California team is much more difficult. Calgary's there. And let's not forget about the Central and the wild cards. Cause like, I think Winnipeg and Dallas are both better than Edmonton. So like they gotta finish third probably to make sure that they make the playoffs, not just fourth. And you can't let another year go by of McDavid and Drysdale kind of maybe make the playoffs, maybe not. That seems that would not be a great idea. So it feels more critical now after this weekend, after that loss to Ottawa, and even it did in the difficult run beforehand. So I'm not sure what Ken Holland's going to have to do to sort it out, but it feels like he has to do something because doing nothing is not working.
Yeah. We've all been kind of scared to say it, like, will the Oilers miss the playoffs? But like you said, after this weekend, but what happens, MJ, if they do miss the playoffs? Like, is that a total offseason blow up?
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, the major. I mean, but blow up is, you know, for the people that can lose their jobs, like, right? People under contract, like, the players are hard to move. They're like, so you're going to, like, obviously McDavid and Drysdale and Hyman and Nugent Hopkins and Darnell Nurse. I guess Tyson Berry's got a couple more years. Evan Bouchard, like those guys are going to be around. So who can you change easily? It's management, it's coaches, it's that kind of stuff would be probably the first place they would look. I don't know if that would make a difference, but that's where they would go first, just because that's how pro sports go right now.
All right, MJ, we'll let you try and brave that. How excited are you to call this game tonight between the Battle of the Basement Dwellers? Habs Yotes should be a barn burner.
Oh, the fight for right. Yes, it's a 4 p.m. afternoon game, no less. So I should have been in Scottsdale last night having dinner in the sunshine. And now I'm going to just drive a snowmobile to work, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get there. So we'll see how it goes. I'll check in with you later in about 2 hours when I arrive.
All right, sounds good, buddy. Hey, drive safe, and hope to see you on the tube in a couple hours, pal.
All right, guys, have a good day.